It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah.
Like this up, bud?
I like this music too.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com every night. Right here at the El Pacifico till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You can watch our live streaming video of the show and listen to us on our website, philhenryshow.com. You can also listen to the show live by way of TuneIn, and you can either hear that through your smartphone app or you can listen at our website, philhenryshow.com. We have the show streaming there right now. So there's that. Or you can listen to the podcast the next day on our website, philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass to our website affords you the opportunity to access the largest repository of any radio show, and it happens to be a damn good one. Damn good, you know.
Well, there's an awful lot, many generations of the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. Now, we were talking before the break about ghosts and all this bullcrap. Now, somebody wanted me to talk about spiritualists, and Doug Danger, who is a reporter for the Orange County Courier, is going to be joining us here momentarily. The Orange County Courier, of course, is a newspaper. It's a news journal. Doug is an entertainment reporter, but he has done some investigative reporting in the past, and Doug is under the byline, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist, which... is a lightning rod, no question about it, Doug.
Well, yeah, it is, and I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I didn't mean it to be a lightning rod. It's a statement of who I am. I'm gay. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. That's the three steps. Put it all together, and that's gay man, gay journalist, and then there is the overall gay. So there are five steps to the gay that I represent. Now, here is when I do my films, you know, as Margaret knows, all of you guys know, when I do a film review, I either give it a gay thumb up or gay thumb down, but I don't stop there. I give it a gay thumb up, and I'll also give the gay thumb down. To give an example, this film, 12 Years a Slave, this is the first film that I've given four straight gay thumbs up.
What do you mean, straight gay thumb up?
Because that is an homage to my straight readers. So I say I'm giving it four straight gay thumbs up. And that means that that's the best you can do with the Doug Danger gay man, gay journalist thumb up. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Well, all right, say that again.
Say what again, ma'am?
It's Margaret, Doug. You don't have to call me ma'am.
All right, well, what do you want me to say again?
Say again what the gay, what the straight gay thumb up means.
I just said to you,
Doug, now come on, let's not have an argument.
I know, but this is the kind of purposeful, willful misunderstanding.
It is not willful misunderstanding. I don't know what you mean by four straight gay thumbs up.
It means that it's four straight gay thumbs up. There's nothing wrong with the movie. It's all good. And it's so good that I'm going to go ahead and give it straight gay thumbs. As opposed to just a gay thumb, you know. Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry, man, but I had a big, big meal just before I come on the air here because I've been starving all day long. I had a bologna sandwich, and it's not, you know, with the Gouldens mustard, Phil. You ever had that?
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm telling you right now, I hear one more person belch on this show, and I don't care who it is. I'm throwing them off the air.
All right, but my understanding was because I got some kind of an email from over there.
Yeah, I sent out the email.
What email?
I asked the email to be sent out for people to be a little bit more relaxed on the show.
Well, no, mine said it's okay to belch. So,
did you write that?
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, you're giving it the gay. We don't have to explain that, the gay thumb up. Let's talk about spiritualism. And you had a hand in outing or uncovering or busting a very well-known spiritualist here in the Southern California area. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Phil. This was the case of both the husband and wife. Now, they were a team, and this took place, as you may recall, Phil, this is in Santa Ana, the Benjamin family, and both the husband and wife and the son were in on this. The wife was the primary operator, if you will, the front for this spiritualism game, and they were doing these seances. And
all right, so they were giving readings, is that it, or how does it happen?
Well, the way it happens is this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm not going to go and do a story on spiritualism seances without going right in there. And I mean going right into the seance parlor and staring at everything. I do a very up-close and personal inspection And I walked into the seance parlor, and I said, now, that seance is going to be tonight, right? And this a woman, she went by the name of Mazzie Benjamin. I said, now, Mazzie? And she said, yes, Mr. Danger. And I said, I used to call her Old Lady Benjamin. I said, now, Old Lady Mazzie, you're going to be doing a spiritualism tonight, and who are you trying? She said, well, I'm going to try and contact some dead. Don't you know someone that's dead? I said, yeah, I do. And my grandfather.
Okay.
And she said she's going to contact my grandfather. And I know full well she wasn't going to contact my grandfather any more than I was going to contact him. But I went ahead, I walked in, I looked, I eyeballed everything. I specifically eyeballed that crystal ball, you know.
You got to be kidding. They actually use a crystal ball.
Yeah, they do. I seen it and everything. When you go on a haunted mansion ride, you'll see it.
Well, a haunted mansion ride ain't got nothing to do with a Dicklin, man. Get your head, flush out your headgear, new guy, okay? Got nothing to do with it.
Well, you're talking, now hold on for a minute. You're saying that there's no crystal ball with a little woman inside going, woo, because Dickman and I both rode on the haunted mansion with Harvey Wireman.
Yeah, I know, and both you guys got contact eyes, right?
No, Wireman got the contact eye.
Well,
what do you mean a contact high?
They smoke weed inside those rides. You didn't know that?
That's right. Harvey got the contact high.
That's right. Now, I didn't get a contact high. I that doesn't happen to me. You can put me in a room filled with marijuana smoke. Nothing will happen. It just it has no effect on me.
Well, General, I would love to see that try it out.
You want to try it out in my house, General? We do it this weekend.
I'm not going over to your house, Dickman, and sitting in a room full of weed smoke while you and your friends play God knows, you know, Call of Duty, and I get increasingly irritated with the idiotic strategic moves you make.
All right, General.
You notice my voice hasn't cracked yet, though?
No, it hasn't. Maybe it's happening when you get mad.
Maybe it happens when I get mad, and maybe it happens when I begin to calm down.
All right, look, can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
First of all, I went into this spiritualism, this seance there at the Mazzie Benjamin place with my eyes wide open, but my mind very, very open. I didn't want to come in there and embarrass this old lady. Now, I sit down, and there's probably six or seven people there in the room, and she starts in with what I call the Oogie Boogie. You know what that is, the Oogie Boogie is, don't you?
No, no, I don't.
What are you laughing at?
Well, I don't know what you mean by the Oogie Boogie.
That's the whole gibberish. Is that what you mean, Doug?
That's exactly what it is. That's when they start in with the, ooh, hey, spirit, you know, Doug Danger's here and he wants to talk to his grandfather. Whee! Oh, all kinds of noise, all kinds of real irritating, loud clanging. Now I feel the table going up. I see stuff flying around the room. I heard a tambourine going. I heard all kinds of, like a clarinet being played. I heard a truck, at one point I heard a garbage truck emptying cans, and you know, as you might guess, it actually was a garbage truck outside emptying cans. I said, now, because I looked at Mazzie, that's when she flipped the lights on, and she said, what do you want now? And I said, because I'd interrupted the seance a couple times.
So you were not letting this go on?
No, I was asking questions, and she'd throw the lights on and go, what's your problem? I said, I just heard garbage cans being emptied. She goes, yeah, that's outside. I said, is that part of the spooks? And she goes, you know, what do you think? And I felt kind of stupid. So she turned the lights back off, started all over again. And she goes, ooh, you know, where's the dead grandfather of Doug Danger? And again, I started hearing clown bells and clown horns and ooga booga, ooh, all that kind of stuff, right? Now I hear that horn that goes, doot, 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 right? And I said, is that some guy with a horn outside? And she throws the lights on again. And she opens up the window. Now, coming up the walk is her husband, who does clown parties for kids. And he was hitting that horn.
What is this story you're telling me?
I'm telling you the seance.
Yes, but Doug, there's a lot of outside noise that you're bringing into this.
I'm trying to tell you what I was what I had to fight against.
This lady is doing a seance.
That's right.
She's trying to contact the spirit of your dead grandfather.
Correct.
You're hearing all kinds of noises that you think are coming from the beyond or not, whatever the case may be. Then you're hearing garbage cans being emptied and a guy with a clown horn. That turns... I mean...
Phil, we're talking about my dead grandfather. If you could have just a little bit of respect, that would be fantastic, man. You know, not a lot of respect.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. The clown horn was coming from outside. It was her husband who does kids' parties, and the garbage cans being emptied were actually being emptied on the street.
That's right. I said to her, well, what's coming from the spirit world, and what's coming from the... She said, do you know anybody... You ought to hear a clown horn and garbage cans being emptied. Does that remind you of your grandfather? I said, no. She said, well, then you know.
Oh, would you get out of here?
Well, I'm not finished yet.
All right, hold on for a minute.
What's wrong? The story is a little convoluted, but it's interesting.
You know something? If you think that's interesting, that's fine with me. This sounds like the world's dumbest spiritualist in the history of the planet Earth. You know?
Well, why?
Why? I mean, you know, if he's telling me that, first of all, she's phony, which means all the noises that are coming from inside the house she's creating, and in the meantime, she hasn't got the brains to keep the garbage cans from being empty. You know, you're hearing stuff coming from the street. And
yeah, but what about the clown horn?
That's her husband coming up the walkway from a kid's party.
Phil, you need, you know...
Phil, you know what you need? Let's go get a drink of... Well, maybe I should...
Yeah, you're the guy that needs the drink. We're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com in just a moment with more from Doug Danger and the spiritualist that he busted, that he outed, that he got, that he thought he was going to get the Nobel or the Pulitzer Prize for. Not going to happen. What a nut. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Doug Danger on the line with us here as we talk about the spiritualism and the phony baloney aspect to it. Now, this is not to knock anybody that believes in the spirits of the dead can be contacted. I don't know whether they can or not. I'm very much a skeptic, and this is from, you know what's funny about this is, if you were to ask me in my younger years, obviously I would have said, oh yeah, all that stuff, man. I remember when I read Eric Von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods, I thought that was just the most amazing book about how we were seated here by aliens, and how the Ark of the Covenant was actually a radio, and that Elijah being taken to heaven on a fiery chariot was actually Elijah or some guy being taken up to a spaceship.
What are you talking about, man? That's out of on that book?
Yeah, that was in a book, Chariots of the Gods.
I remember that book, and most of the people I knew thought it was nothing more than balderdash. Just a load of old rubbish, old sewage.
Well, General, you were in the military, and certainly there are a great many skeptics to this kind of a thing, but I think we can all agree there are stranger things on heaven and earth than we can possibly conceive of.
Yeah, whatever.
How dare you say whatever?
Hey, watch it now. Everything with you, Margaret, the solution to it is to belt somebody.
You take one look at him and tell me if there's another way. I'd love to know what it is.
All right, take it easy. Now, Doug Danger with us. All right, Doug, so let's talk more about the Benjamin family of Santa Ana, the spiritualists that you did the five-part series on. Now you're at their house. Now they're engaging in a seance for your benefit, right? This was to contact your grandfather.
That was to contact my grandfather. And again, you have to understand something, Phil. I was incognito. I was hush-hush, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And so I'm able, obviously, because of my background as a gay man, gay journalist, I'm able to keep it quiet, keep it on the down low, because you have to do that in a homophobic, wretchedly bigoted, prejudiced concentration camp of a country like America.
Wait just a second. What are you saying about this country?
I'm just telling you, General, that, you know, you're fortunate. You grew up and you were born straight, grew up straight. I'm assuming you still are. And you know, I'm just kidding. Of course you are.
What do you mean you're assuming? Yes, I still am. I always have. What do you mean a concentration camp of a country?
Well, you know, for gay people, General, this place has been anything but a picnic, okay? This has been anything but a walk in the park, flying a kite out there with your little niece or nephew, all right? This has been a holy, rotten, stinking hell. And
okay, Doug, can you just maybe put the partisan speech to the side while we get to the point here tonight concerning this seance?
All right, but, you know, I just want to... I'm giving you the background on why it is I'm so good at what I do.
We know you're good. Now get to what you did with the good.
What?
I said we know that you did Not that you did. We know that you did do...
We know you're good. Get to what you did with the good.
Yes, that's it.
All right. So I'm in the seance, and now old lady Benjamin starts in with what I call the ooga booga. She's going, ooga booga, you know, come on down, come on down. It's almost like the Price is Right for dead people, you know. All right, old man, Doug Danger's grandfather, my grandfather's name Glenn, said, Glenn Danger, come on down. And I'm hearing all these tambourines, all kinds of stuff that's got nothing to do with my grandfather. What's a tambourine got to do with my grandfather? Nothing.
What did your grandfather do?
My grandfather owned an electrical company in Chicago, Illinois. He owned a big electrical firm in Chicago, Illinois. He didn't play no tambourine, I'll tell you that right now. So anyways, playing tambourines, clarinet, and all kinds of ooh, all this jazz, right?
Well, were the lights going on and off?
Yeah, that was the one thing where I figured, well, maybe that's my grandfather, the lights going on and off, because everything my grandfather touched, generally the lights go on and off after that. I'm kidding. He had a very successful company, but I used to give him a hard time when he was still here. I said, hey, Grandpa, the lights are coming on and off. Did you do the wiring in this house? And he'd say, why, you lousy, no good, you know, and he'd call me the F word. And
you're kidding me. Your grandfather called you that?
No, he didn't. Anyway,
well, did your grandfather know that you were gay?
My grandfather knew I was a gay man and a gay journalist. So, no, he did not.
What is that supposed to mean? No, he did not.
What does that mean?
I just got done I said my grandfather knew I was a gay man and a gay journalist.
So he knew you were gay?
No, he did not know I was gay. He knew I was a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, I get it. I get it.
What you talking about?
In other words, Doug, it's a big, long title that you have here.
No, it's not. It's who I am. That's what I am, man. Okay? Ain't no big, long title.
All right, so now all of this noise, and then what?
All right, well, after the garbage can's outside and the horn, she shuts the lights off. Now she goes for it again. All right, hey, Glenn Danger, come on down here. Doug, your grandson's here, wants to talk to you about all kinds of stuff. I'm listening to tambourines. I can hear a little baby crying. And that's when I decided that I'd go ahead and what I call throw it open. I call any investigative piece that I do, it's like throwing open the overcoat of some old lady and old man to find out whether they're wearing any pants or not. And that's when I decided to throw open this old lady's overcoat, because what happened was she said, now, Doug Danger, don't you have a little baby, like niece or something that died? And I did. My sister's first born died. It was a miscarriage, and it was something that was very, very, you know, troubling for our family. But fortunately, I've got a niece and a nephew, and they're doing very, very well.
I'm sorry to hear that, Doug.
It's all right, but it was very traumatic for my family. And I said, yes. And then I heard what was the fakest sounding, it's like you squeezing a doll.
You're saying it was a fake doll?
Yeah, it was a toy doll, and I heard this, wah, wah. And she said, oh, Doug, I think that's your niece calling from beyond, ain't it? And I said, you dirty old... And that's when I threw the lights on. I pulled open the table that had a covering on it, you know, like a tablecloth.
Yeah.
And there's all the mechanisms. There's all kinds of strings, all kinds of gadgets. There's a little guy under there. It was her son. He was pulling all kinds of levers. Then I took the old lady. I grabbed her by the collar, and I pinned her up against the wall, and I started shaking her, and out comes all these tambourines and everything. That's when I threw open her coat. And I saw all kinds of levers and switches in there. The husband tries to interfere. He comes in with his clown outfit on, right? Now, I'm laughing. I'm laughing as I'm shaking her, and I'm holding off the husband with one hand. He comes at me with the clown nose and the horn. And I said, what are you going to do, man? Are you going to honk me to death? And he goes, why, you dirty. And he used the Q word, and he came at me with the horn.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Bill, that is not right, laughing at him.
Oh, please. Please. Come on.
Well, where is he?
He hung up on us. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you humiliated him.
I humiliated him? Did I really? Well, I'm very sorry that I did. What did I say? What did I do?
Well, you're laughing. We're getting to the good part, Phil, where the husband came at you.
Come at me. Came at Doug.
I mean, Doug. With a clown? I don't know.
Well, he said that the husband was still in his clown outfit.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So there's Doug. If I'm getting this right. Hey, Doug, if you're listening, which I know you are, I'm not saying you didn't do all this stuff. It sounds pretty funny the way you're describing it, that's all. You got the old lady pinned up against a wall, shaking tambourines and all crap out of her. You got some guy under the table who I assume is the son, right?
Well, that was the, yes, that was in the reporting.
And then the husband's coming at you in his clown outfit. So I don't understand what, why I shouldn't laugh. You know, that's my whole point. Oh, there he is. Doug. Doug, look, I'm sorry, man.
Hey, listen, Henry, I have been a reporter.
Hold on for a minute.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be right back with Doug Danger and more on the ridiculousness of, I don't know, of this story, man, and just exactly what was happening with Doug Danger and old lady Mazzie Benjamin and the husband and the son as Doug busted these phony baloney spiritualists in Santa Ana. Phil Henry Show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. That's where you can watch live streaming video of our show, or if you'd like to hear the show live right now, no matter where you are, you can listen to any one of our many affiliates or on the radio side, or you can listen to us on TuneIn. So, and TuneIn can be accessed either by way of your smartphone or on our website, philhenryshow.com. You can listen to a live stream of our show right now. On the line with me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We also have Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and that is just a very, very quick promo for tomorrow night's show, if you don't mind, Doug. I've got Dean on the line here from Novato, California. Tomorrow night, Dean, you're going to be talking with us about Bigfoot, right?
That is correct, Phil. Bigfoot is, as you know, an endangered species protected by Canadian law. The United States has not yet passed any legislation that would protect Bigfoot. But the Canadian government has, and tomorrow night we're going to talk about the feasibility of that happening here in the United States. I don't know whether it is something that would be popularly supported. I recognize there are a lot of people who... I'd like to jump in with a question here, Dean, if I could. Is Doug Danger?
Yes, Doug.
I know you are familiar with the Bob Green episode. Is that correct?
I've been in touch with Bob, yeah.
The Bob Green episode, Bob Green claims, Phil, he's one of your guests, I think he owns a supermarket chain, claimed that Bigfoot attacked and raped him on a camping trip.
Yeah, I heard that screwball story, yeah.
Well, first of all, Phil, I wouldn't say screwball story. The problem with the story is it could very well be true, but Mr. Green wants the right, the legal right from the Canadian government. He wants a license to be able to shoot and kill Bigfoot if he sees it on account of he got humiliated by it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If I'm Bob Green, I want to shoot and kill that son of a bitch too, okay? And so I will be very, very interested to hear what you have to say about that tomorrow night, Mr. Wheeler.
You may like to know that you don't have to wait for tomorrow night. I don't think Bigfoot should be endangered at all.
All right. That's a screwy story, and I'm not sure I believe it. I thank you very much, Dean Wheeler. That'll be tomorrow night on the Phil Henry Show. Maybe we'll get Mr. Green on to talk further about that. We have Doug Danger.
I mean it. I'm not the kind of guy who is going to... So this guy, Bob Green, goes out camping. He might have taunted this Bigfoot. He might have insulted it. I don't know what he did, but it took Green into a cabin and had its way with him for 3 hours. Now Green wants to kill it? Of course he does. Why wouldn't he? And I think the Canadian government should do the right thing and give him a one-time and one-time-only license for one weekend out of the year to go ahead and sit in that cabin and wait for Bigfoot's return.
Okay, a question for you.
Yeah, no, I want to ask a question. What do you mean, wait for Bigfoot's return?
Well, it's assumed that Bigfoot knows where this cabin is, since that's where it and Green had its initial, or their initial, you know, moment together. I'm not willing to, I don't want to prejudge.
Wait a minute. We're dealing with a guy that's nuts. He thinks he was attacked and raped by Bigfoot. Now you're telling me that he's going to put himself back in the cabin where he thinks this happened, and he's using himself as bait.
Right. Bigfoot will be drawn back to this cabin once a year on the anniversary of this event.
So Bigfoot would go back to the cabin in the hopes of seeing Bob again.
That's my feeling, or at least that's my understanding.
And you don't think that's nuts?
I'm
I'm in no position, Phil, to judge. I wouldn't want to judge, okay? I would not want to judge. I you know, walk around in a man's shoes, you know, before you,
Yeah, spend a night in a cabin with Bigfoot breathing on you.
Well, you know, think about that. Well, you know something? If I had to spend a weekend in a cabin with Bigfoot's hot breath on my neck, oh, God.
It is. It's a good point.
Yeah, sure. It's a great point. All of you people are flipped. Okay, Doug, let's get back to the spiritualist and the
Well, look, you're including me in that flipped out thing?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right, let's get back to the spiritualist thing. So now you've got the old lady pinned against the wall.
Look, Phil, if this is going to turn into some kind of a comedy segment where everything's a then I can go ahead and just bow right out right now, man. I can go ahead and bow. Go ahead and take whatever applause is available to me. Motion for the guy to pull the hook. Grab me around the neck with it. Pull me off stage. Throw me into an alley where I can get run over by a milk wagon or whatever else you want to see happen to a gay man and a gay journalist. But I'll tell you right now, I've got a story to tell. And the story is this. That I grabbed the old lady when I found out that she was phony baloney with the tambourines. The tambourines come falling out of her back, out of her coat. I see the son underneath the table manipulating all of these switches. In comes the husband in the clown outfit. Now we got ourselves a Donnybrook, man. I mean, it is on. It's on. And I mean, I pick up a chair because I'm holding him off with one hand. I got her by the throat with the other. Now I finally push him away, and I pick a chair up, and I swing the chair at him. I miss him, but I hit the son. And that knocks the table over, and I see even more mechanisms and gadgets and stuff that was making stuff flying through the room. So the whole thing was phony from the beginning, okay?
Wait a minute, wait. You're holding her by the throat. You swung a chair. You hit the son. Where's the husband?
The husband, I pushed the husband against the wall. His clown wig flies off. He's still got on that clown nose. And he's got on what's left of the clown outfit. He's got on the big shoes. He comes lunging at me again. I bring my knee up. That's a big mistake with Doug Danger. Don't you ever come at me that way, because all I got to do is raise the knee up. This guy came at me like a linebacker. The knee goes up, and that was all. That was the end.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I dropped some. That was the end of all the lower teeth, and those went flying. So, and then he's out cold. So his jaw got pushed back about an inch in his skull. All the lower teeth gone, and he's out cold. And the old lady is still swinging around, yelling at me, cursing at me in Slovakian or whatever the hell it was that she was talking. So it turns out that I uncovered the phony baloney.
So she had a whole bunch of wires and levers that were making things fly through the air.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty much the standard spiritualist con, isn't it?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I thought maybe they had perhaps evolved a little bit over time, but no. The old lady, she still had the flying tambourines. The thing that gave it away was the baby. This was the niece that my sister had lost through a miscarriage. And the old lady tried to recreate that with a squeaky, one of those things, okay?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And I said to her later, I said, Maisie, you've got to be kidding. I said, I would have bought all of it. Well, you're telling me that's my dead niece with the mm-mm, and she says to me that they couldn't get over to, I think she said that Toys R Us hadn't opened yet, so they had to settle for Kmart. Are you ready for that?
So in other words, she copped to all of this, obviously. What else is she going to do?
That's right.
Did you turn her into the cops?
Oh, yeah. Santa Ana PD had her. And all kinds of fraud and larceny and all kinds of stuff getting laid on her. The cop couldn't believe it either when I said about the squeaky doll, and he said, let me guess, Kmart? I said, yeah, how'd you know? He said, because they got that doll there. He said, I had to buy that, he said, for my daughter, because Toys R Us was closed. I had to get in to get one more toy for Christmas. I had to go over and get that squeak doll, and I said, that's the cheapest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I drop-kicked it. I said, my daughter had it. She played with it for about a half an hour. When she went in the other room to do something else, I grabbed the doll, and I kicked it. He said, I must have kicked it 50 yards. What's wrong?
Nothing at all. I'm listening to the story. All right, well, listen, it's a great story, and I'm glad that you got a winning story out of it, and those people are out of business. I'm glad that you didn't get an assault charge, you know.
Well, they're not going to charge me with assault when I'm uncovering this this old lady trying to con people, and this guy coming up the walk from a kid's party. He's a clown for kid shows. Then he goes home, and he steals money from old people who think they're going to talk to a dead baby or something, and they're using something out of Walmart. I mean, the whole thing's bad. It's real bad.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you. Very, very good work, and we appreciate it as consumers. And we'll be talking to you next time, okay?
All right, Phil.
Doug Danger. What do you think?
Well, that's one for the books, that story. I don't think I've heard one quite like that before.
That guy's saying that, I don't know.
Well, what do you say? What, Robert?
Well, when he talked about that doll squeaking like a fake doll, right?
Yeah.
How come that old lady's so stupid she'd do something like that?
They said because Toys R Us was closed.
Yeah, but why even get a doll from Toys R Us or Kmart? You got to get a real baby.
Well, you can't get a real baby. How are you going to get a real baby?
Well, that's the point. I mean, they never even should have had a baby. If they say, well, your niece is here with us and the spirit of this poor little baby is with us, don't have a fake doll voice, you know.
Well, it wasn't a doll voice, though.
It was the fake. You heard what he said. It was a fake na-na, that little squeaky voice, you know.
Then baby don't sound like that.
A baby doesn't sound like that, no. What do you mean a baby doesn't sound like that? No, they don't sound like that. So, these people, and Doug does a whole investigative report on them, and winds up kicking all their asses, too.
What? I don't find that funny at all. I think Doug Danger gets a kick out of bullying people. I know that he's gay, and I know he's come up the hard way, and all of those wonderful things. No one recognizes that more than I do, because I am a liberal, but...
Well,
But, hold on, but... Well, I forget.
What?
I forget what I was going to say.
Yeah, but he's nuts.
That's great. Okay, we'll be right back. But he's nuts. All right, back with our weather news here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com when we come back. 855-507-445. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So we need a bigger heads up there on when we're coming out of the break. In any event, welcome back to our program. We have with us here Nikki McKee is with us, and she's going to read a story from Fargo, North Dakota. Now, this is a weather-related story, Nikki, that leads into the other stuff we want to talk about. But this is having to do with the snow, right?
Yeah.
And how much was falling. So what was the gist of this thing?
So there's a local, Todd Fox, who was detained for reckless endangerment.
In Fargo, North Dakota.
Yep. For illegal use of high-powered fire-breathing weaponry. Mm-hmm. He used a flamethrower to melt the snow.
On his property?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a violation of the law. And did he almost burn something down, or
I guess
you know what? It sounds like a good idea to me.
Me too.
Yes, I think it sounds like a great idea. Why would he be arrested?
Because of the danger of the weapon, right?
Apparently, neighbors noticed what was going on, and they ended up calling the police because they figured this might not be a good idea.
So they saw all of this fuel burning, flame throwing stuff.
Yep.
No, but you know something, that sounds ridiculous. I think, yes, you could burn something down, but in all that snow...
Maybe this guy didn't know what he was doing. You know, I wouldn't want to see that in the hands of some jackass. Did he say why he had that weapon or why he had that thing?
He said that he didn't have any other means to get rid of it, and he was fed up with battling the elements, so he used the flamethrower.
But why did he have a flamethrower?
It doesn't say that part.
Now, that's the interesting part.
It is.
Yeah, they got a law against guns and everything. They'd have gun control on that.
I would be in favor of gun control on flamethrowers, yeah. Yeah. So Fargo, North Dakota, huh?
Yep.
Well, I think that's an ingenious move, nonetheless dangerous.
Well, let me tell you something right now, because I'm former military. Anyone that possesses a flamethrower in private life is some kind of a mental deviant. I don't know why anyone would have that unless the man had been in the service and had somehow absconded with it after he'd been discharged.
How easy is it for a guy to hold on to any kind of a weapon, you know?
Well, it's not easy at all. You are discharged with your clothing, with your personal effects. You certainly don't You're not walking out of there with a flamethrower unless somehow it was disassembled and mailed to a civilian address while he was serving his stint in the military. But I don't know what the answer to that would be, other than to say a flamethrower, however user-friendly, is not a safe item for people to have. And you'll burn someone's home to the ground as sure as God made green apples.
I don't know, man. You know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing. Yeah, if you know what you're doing, a flamethrower is a great way to melt snow. There's no question about it.
I just wanted to add something to the general.
Yeah.
There's actually no current federal laws governing or restricting the ownership of flamethrowers. Some states have laws restricting possession, but there's...
Where was this man? In the Dakota country, the North Dakota? Was that it?
Yep.
All right. What about the state law there in North Dakota?
I'll have to look that up.
Uh-huh. See? You see? Uh-huh.
Okay, good, General. That's great. Uh-huh.
Well,
I mean, maybe North Dakota doesn't have... But the question, the better question is, how does a guy get a flamethrower into... You know, you can make those. What am I talking about?
What do you mean you can make them?
Anybody can make one. I mean, anyone that's ingenious enough can make a damn flamethrower. You can make a flamethrower. You need the fuel. You need some manner... some way of igniting and focusing that flame and, you know, discharging it somehow, expelling it, however they use those things. They're very dangerous. There's no question at all. But I'm just saying, from the standpoint of the average inventive type, the average kind of guy or gal who likes to putter around in the garage, you know.
You're telling me that you can go into a garage and make something as ugly and deadly as a flamethrower. That's what you're saying?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't you be able to?
Well, I fear that Phil's right.
Wait. Hold on for just a minute. Hold on. Hold the phone. You're telling me. Me.
Yeah.
Not anyone behind me.
No, I'm telling you, Margaret.
All right.
And my audience.
That some dimbulb like this one here could go into a garage and construct something that could incinerate a building filled with children. That's what you're saying.
You pointed to Bud like he's going to make something like that?
What do you think I'm going to do that for? Why? Okay, you don't have no answer, do you?
No, I'm not saying you would, but some idiot like him.
We didn't say an idiot. Somebody that knows how to do it could do it. You can make a gun, I guess. Can't you make a gun?
Well, Phil, you can make just about anything you want to make, I guess, if someone was wanted to do. A flamethrower is a very unwieldy thing. It's obviously extremely destructive, very difficult to control. You have to have a very wide a target, or rather, in wartime, you're using this. It's an anti-personnel weapon. You understand what I mean by that?
I'm sorry?
Do you understand what I mean when I say it's an anti-personnel weapon?
Well, it's meant to kill people, but isn't a flamethrower also something that you use in combat to burn structures?
Well, you do, but you're burning the structure if there's someone in it. So a flamethrower is a very specific, it is to kill people and a lot of them.
I understand. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to have, and this guy was using it to get rid of snow, so we'll figure out. I don't know. You know, the whole thing about how to control weapons, what do I know? I don't know. You know? I mean, people say, well, you know, the criminal is the one that does the crime, you know? And I understand that, and I certainly do adhere to that. But by the same token, because a guy is a criminal, and we are assured of the fact that only criminals would commit crimes, does that mean, therefore, that any and all weapons should be available to the general public because it's really not the weapon, it's the guy?
I don't believe that at all. I think you must be flipping your lid. Do you want to make an atom bomb available?
Yeah, what about that? And make an A-bomb? You'd do that, wouldn't you?
No, I'm not going to do that.
What about an A-bomb? You can't do that.
You're not going to make an A-bomb. An A-bomb needs to be armed. Who's going to need an A-bomb?
You're just saying... You could make, like a guy could have it.
Isn't that what you want?
I didn't say I wanted that. That's the thing I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because there are weapons that are so utterly and totally destructive. I mean, yeah, you know, if you'd use the thinking, which is the following thing. Criminals are the ones that we need to be stopping. I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And I also agree with the fact that we now know that antisocial behavior, psychopathic behavior, as well as all kinds of criminal behavior, this is all something motivated by the individual. They are not influenced to do it because they have access to weapons. There's also a school of thought, though, that says that a violent individual may not be as violent if he can't get his hands on some of these things. But I won't even have that argument with you. I think that gun ownership is constitutional, and I'm totally for it. But if you use the argument all the way down the line and say, you know, you ought to be able to bear arms, right?
Well, arms are guns. Isn't that what they are, General?
In the strictest sense, yes, an arm is considered to be something that a man can carry with his arms. That's why we call it that.
Can't call it an arm because it's the guy's arm.
No, you don't call it an arm because it's the guy's... What?
You're calling it arms, meaning they are held by a man's hands and arms.
Exactly. An atom bomb, last time I checked, you need an airplane to drop it out of. Wow.
Well, General,
Okay, all right, we're going to take a break and be back with more weather news. How the hell did we ever got into atom bombs and whether or not we can, you know, I don't know. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Go to our website, get a backstage pass. Also, visit our online store for some goodies, like our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies, as well as the Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts, Phil Henry Show t-shirts and ball caps, coffee mugs and shot glasses, all there.